You know, you ask yourself, what is missions? And there's a lot of different answers you can respond. That's part of missions. I don't know if you realize that. You know, missions is when we're reaching out and touching lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think so many times we forget the different aspects of missions and how vital it is to be part of a ministry that is touching lives for Jesus. But what is missions? You know, I'm reminded of a missionary who was a speaker at a dinner in his honor before he was to embark for a missions trip to a distant land. This is what he said. He said, I want to thank you for your kindness. And I want all of you to know that when I am out there, surrounded by ugly, grinning savages, I shall always think of you people. I'm not quite sure what he was meaning when he shared that. But, you know, the Hutchinson Encyclopedia defines missions as this. It is an organized attempt to spread religion. Throughout its history, Christianity has been the most assertive of missionary religions. Islam also has a history of militant missionarizing. And during the 20th century, sects such as the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses proselytized regularly and systematically. So what is missions? Again, missions is an organized effort as we go forth and we share the good news of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why do we get involved in missions? You know, first of all, it is God's command, isn't it? We see in numerous places throughout the Bible where God commands us to be involved in sharing our faith. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 through 20, God so very clearly says to us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Who's he talking to? Obviously, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We've been doing a series on soul winning in Sunday school. And the one thing that has been brought out over and over again is it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how knowledgeable we may be. What the important thing is that we have a heart that's obedient to God's call to go ye. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. The same words are used, go ye into all the world. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read, you shall be witnesses first in Jerusalem. Again, it's not zeroing out any particular part of the Christian faith. It's talking to each and every believer in Jesus Christ, saying, you will be a witness. I remember one time a gentleman sharing and saying, you know, I've been really praying, and I'm asking you to pray for me too. You see, God's been convicting me that I want to be a witness. And so I'm praying about whether I should be a witness or not for God. And you see, we don't need to pray about whether God wants us to be a witness or not, do we? Because we are witnesses. That's the thing many of us don't understand, is that when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we're already a witness. Our choice may be the type of witness we're going to be. Are we going to be a positive testimony for Christ? Are we going to be a weak testimony for Christ? Are we going to hinder the ministry of Christ? Or are we going to go forth and share the joys of being a child of God? Let's look a little bit at the historical progression of missions. And obviously the best place to begin is in the beginning. We see that in the New Testament, that the early church in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, says that they met daily in the temple and in every house. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. One thing we can learn about the early church, early Christians, they had a zeal. They had an excitement about their faith in Jesus Christ. And that is exemplified through that very verse where it says daily they met in the temple and in every house. They ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. You see, Christ was an integral part of their everyday life. Not just Sundays. Not just Sundays and Wednesday nights. But daily they got together because God was very meaningful to them and their relationship with Him was vital. The growth of Christianity in the early centuries was phenomenal. By the mid-20th century, an apologist said, "We are everywhere. We are in your towns and in your cities. We are in your army and navy. We are in your palaces. We are in your Senate. We are more numerous than anyone." By AD 300, the church was spreading so fast that it appeared the entire civilized world could be evangelized by AD 500. But then Constantine decreed that everyone in the empire was already a Christian. And slowly, the idea prevailed of a division between laity and clergy. After all, only those set apart for God, for ministry, could really know how to evangelize, was their thought. As a result of such thinking, the advancement of Christianity was checked. You know, if we look today, unfortunately, we see that many of our churches have left their foundations. They look into social issues rather than biblical issues. Many churches today are only interested in their own congregation and not those that are lost and going to hell. Many people today are too busy or self-centered to worry about others, but rather they spend their time on worrying about themselves. Today, as in Constantine's day, the term Christian has been misdefined as anyone who believes in God. Thus, the need to evangelize again is lessened. As we think about these few facts this morning, what is our response? You know, this morning, I will not try to move you by sharing compelling stories of the needs in foreign countries, let alone right here in America. I will not try to make you feel guilty about what you may not be doing in connection with missions. I will leave the convincing up to the Holy Spirit. After all, He does do a lot better job at that than I can do. However, we have to ask ourselves one question. I would like to leave you with a verse from Scripture that asks a very valid question. Again, in our Scripture reading this morning, Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. The question is asked, how shall they hear? As we look around us, whether it be sometimes as close as our own families, other times it might be our own neighborhoods, our own communities. As we look around this world, it is not difficult to find someone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It is not difficult to find someone that is going through a trial in their life and is hurting and they don't know where to turn or who to turn to. Someone who needs strength and they need hope. How are they going to know where they can turn to find the source of that strength? To find hope. Here in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, is that question. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? If Jesus is the only answer for mankind today, if those who are searching to find something to fill that void within their lives, if they're searching to find meaning for life and purpose for their life, how can they turn to Jesus Christ if they have not heard? How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? It's hard to believe today that many people have not heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we look at the understanding of what we're saying is not necessarily hearing that Jesus was alive at one point in time, But we're talking about a true understanding of who Jesus Christ is. There are many today who use his name over and over and over again. But they use it incorrectly. They don't know who Jesus Christ is in a personal way. They don't know what he has done for them. There are so many in our world today that are feeling very hopeless. They don't know where to turn. I don't need to sit here and just share statistics of what's happening around us in our society with economics and everything. We see what is happening around us today. And many people are asking, who do I turn to? Where do I turn? Where is there hope in our economy today? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? You know, again, the thought is, if a person is not told about who Jesus Christ is and what he has done, how are they going to receive that gift of salvation? That is both locally and that is also abroad. When we talk about missions, we talk about both missions at home and we talk about missions abroad. Anyone, no matter where they live in this world today, who does not know Jesus Christ, needs to hear of what Christ has done for them. For the Bible says that God so loved what? The world. Not just Claverick, not just Ghent, not just Hudson, but God so loved the world. So the world needs to hear of the life-changing power of Jesus Christ and what it means to be a born-again child of God. How can they hear if they haven't been told? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? The only way the message is going to get out there is if we share it. You know, God in all his wisdom could have come up with a different way. I've thought of it many times. There's many times I'd love to just sit outside and look at the nice white fluffy clouds up in the sky and how beautiful they are. And you don't have to raise your hands, but I know if you were truthful, you would admit that you've done this at least once or twice in your life. You've tried to decide what kind of shape the clouds were in. That one's an elephant. That one's a crocodile or whatever. You know, it's beautiful. God could have chosen, if he had wanted to write the scriptures in the sky, couldn't he? Instead of giving us the awesome privilege of being able to share this life-changing word with others, he could have written it in the sky. One thing we noticed on our trip to Connecticut yesterday was there was some very beautiful section as the leaves are changing, and many have already dropped, but still there's many areas which is beautiful that, I mean, that's a sermon in itself, just talking about how creation speaks so strongly about the fact that there had to be a creator. It didn't happen by chance, right? But God could have chosen, if he wanted to write the verses on a leaf, couldn't he? So as you're walking around, all of a sudden a little leaf comes down in front of you and you pull it out and there it says, for God so loved the world, on the leaf. He could have done it, but he didn't. What did he do? He chose to give you and I the honor, the privilege of being his spokesman to take this life-changing news to a needy world. And it says, and how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, we're not going to ask the three that are going on this trip tomorrow to come up front to take their shoes off and to show us their feet. That's not what this scripture is talking about as far as a physical beauty. What it's talking about is the fact that there is no greater beauty than an individual who is willing to follow the Lord to wherever he sends them and taking the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Because what they're doing is they're putting their feet to work. Their feet are what are taking them to these different lands to share the good news of what Christ has done with them. So how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that's what they're doing. They're bringing good news of salvation. And it's exciting to know that even individuals in tribes that cannot speak English, many tribes that have not had any contact with white man, they can understand when we take the time, obviously, to learn their language, and there's different things to do. But when we share the gospel with them, when we find how to communicate the truth to them, God's word will still work and touch their hearts, won't it? And that's what is so exciting, is God's word is not designed just for a particular type of society, a particular group within a civilization. God's word is open to all men. This morning I would like to encourage you that if God has in your any way just tweaked your interest this morning about missions, maybe you're just kind of thinking in the back of your mind, well, what can I do? Maybe you're saying, you know, I might be a little bit older, but God could still use me in foreign missions. What can I do? How can I help? First, let me encourage you to pray. That's where it all begins, isn't it, with prayer. We don't want to seek a formula or a process or an answer or a specific pattern. We want to seek the face and direction of God because we understand that God works in each person's life in a different way. To some, He calls to be full-time missionaries. He equips them for that. Others of us would not be comfortable in that kind of a situation. But again, just because we're not called to foreign missions doesn't mean we can't serve locally. Some of us may be called to a type of a ministry which is more prominent, where we stand up in front of others and share and talk. And for others, they say, well, that's not me. That's not the way I'm equipped. But God had other ways for you to serve. We need to pray and say, okay, God, I know that there's many ways to reach out with the gospel. Maybe you are a very timid person. Again, that's why we have tracts. That's why we have CDs that we put out of the different messages to use. There are many different ways to get the good news out of there. Pray and saying, okay, God, I want to be a missionary. I want to let people know what you've done for me and seek His face. Secondly, talk through the decision with your pastor or someone who's been involved in missions. Remember, our flesh, the enemy, seems to betray us as we sincerely seek to serve God. We need to surround ourselves with the protection of the local church. So if God is calling us to serve Him through sharing our faith, let's find out, are there ways that we can serve in our local church? Are there ways that we can serve in our communities? What is available to us? Short-term missions is always a great opportunity just to get our feet wet, to find out what missions is all about. So we need to seek and get the support of the local church behind us. But remember, as you start truly giving your heart to God, the enemy's going to try to get in there and get in the way and give you every reason in the world why you're not the one that's supposed to be sharing the gospel and why you're not made that way. Third, you need to feed your mind. This process will be different for every candidate. Seek out missions resources such as websites, books, magazines, training courses. There's many things available to us to help us to understand more and more about how to get the gospel forth. And then fourth, prepare yourself theologically and biblically. Theology and Bible are always helpful in what area of work God wants to lead us into. This is a practical step that you can be working on even right now to prepare you for what might lie ahead. We may not be sure. We may feel that I know God's calling me to share my faith in one way or another. I don't know how. But that doesn't mean we have to wait until He shares with us exactly what He wants us to do. We can start preparing by studying God's Word and hiding it in our hearts now. Now, we may be also asking ourselves this morning, how can I support missions? I'm honest, I really don't feel called abroad. So what can I do? I recognize the need for others to go, and I want to support them. Obviously, as already has been shared, is we can pray. Look with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians, chapter 1, beginning in the second part of verse 8. Or 118, I'm sorry. Second part of verse 18. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. This is Paul speaking. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Paul, what was Paul saying? He's saying that I want to rejoice. I give thanks that through your prayers, what a great encouragement and support it is for missionaries to know that there are those that are standing beside them in prayer. For again, remember, they've put themselves right out on the forefront, on the front lines of the battle. And the enemy is going to try to interfere in their lives as well to keep them from getting that good news out there. So we need to keep them in prayer. And again, what a great encouragement. What a way to uplift those that are out there on the field, but to let them know regularly that you are keeping them in your prayers. Secondly, we can help them by supporting them financially. In Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, again we see Paul speaking and he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. As we support them financially, we are partnering with them. We are becoming part of their ministry by enabling them to be able to be out there on the field. Look over a couple pages to Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. You know one of the exciting things? Not only do we partner with those that we support out there on the mission field, but it says here, too, that God returns that blessing to us. Remember, you can't outgive God, can you? And as we invest into missions, as we invest into getting God's word out into the streets, again, both locally and abroad, God is going to bless the sacrifices that are made. There is no greater joy than the joy that comes from knowing that we've been able to be a part of reaching someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ and that their life has been transformed. So this morning, as we prepare to come around the communion table, I'd like us to take a moment and think about the greatest missionary that ever lived. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ did many of the same things that a missionary today does. Jesus, obviously, felt called to respond to the need that he saw, that here was a world that he loved, a world that turned its back upon God, and he wanted to see them reunited into a special relationship with him and his Father. Jesus made a choice. You know, you talk about leaving the comforts of home. Maybe that's one of the problems of being an American, is we have so many comforts that it becomes difficult to say, I can't see myself leaving all those things behind to go into foreign missions. But think about what it must have been like for our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about him living up in heaven. And we really don't know exactly what heaven is like, but you know, we read in the book of Revelation, it gives us just a glimpse of the beauty and the wonder that heaven's going to be like. And here Jesus living in a world that we couldn't even imagine, in truly great comfort and beauty, was willing to leave all that behind. But not only did he leave heaven, But remember, the scripture says that when he left heaven, what did he do? He took on the form of a servant. He was born into flesh so that he could be the payment. You talk about becoming the same as those that we're trying to minister to so we can reach them. That's exactly what Jesus did. He became as one of us. He was born. So he left his spiritual glory and took on the form of a man. That truly was a sacrifice right there in itself. And then you look at his life. He didn't come down and wasn't born in a palace and have servants to wait on him hand and foot, did he? But he lived the most humble life that man could imagine. And he was always there giving of himself for others. What a testimony to us. So as we come together this morning around the communion table, we're remembering the sacrifice that Christ made for us. That he was willing to take that first missionary journey and leave heaven. If he had chosen not to make that journey, where would we be today? Truly, we wouldn't have any hope, would we? We would have no assurance of our salvation. Yet Jesus was willing to make that trip for each and every one of us. And let's ask ourselves this morning too, that if God has called us in the past or is even touching our heart now to be involved in sharing the gospel, again, whether it be at home or whether it be abroad, if we don't respond to that call, what is going to happen to those who God has designated for us to reach with the gospel if we choose not to be faithful? There's a world out there that needs to be touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need hope. They need someone to trust in. They need to know what is truth versus so many misconceptions and lies that they've received through the years by others who have promised to be the answer to all their needs. They need to hear of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we prepare to come together to pray this morning, let me ask you, what is God calling you to do about the need of missions? Where does God have you serving him? For the one thing we have to realize is each and every one of us in this room is to be a missionary. Again, it may not be a foreign missionary, but each one of us is called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, go ye. Have you answered that call this morning? Let us bow together, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come together this morning, again, we do thank you. We thank you for your love that was so great that you were willing to hold nothing back for us, Lord, even your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to die upon that cross at Calvary. But not only that death, Lord, but again, what a sacrifice it was to leave the splendor of heaven, the comforts of an area where he was being ministered to and being worshipped by the angels, Lord. And Lord received such great glory. He was willing to leave all that behind because his love was that great for a world that was destined to hell without him. And Father, it is my earnest prayer that if there is one here this morning that has never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they would not leave without making that decision this morning. Being willing to say, yes, I know. No matter how hard I try, I can never earn eternal life myself. I could never be good enough myself. I need a Savior, and I know that Savior is Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you would just be with each one of us who does know the Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray that your Spirit would challenge our hearts. Lord, if we have built up walls, if our hearts have become hardened to that call, we pray that you will knock those walls down, Lord. Bring compassion to our hearts, that not only do we recognize the need, but that we're willing to follow through on that need, to be used of you, to bring that saving gospel to others who desperately need to hear of it. And Father, we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.